There's another aspect of the Father which I want to think of today, and that is a Father who provides all our needs. I mentioned it briefly that Sunday too, but I want to speak a little more about it because, you know, we are living in very uncertain days, and the economic situation in the world is getting worse and worse. Money is getting scarce. Cost of living is going up. And those who have plenty of money may rely on their money. Their money will fail them. But many of us don't have much. How shall it be with us? Well, we have a Father in heaven. You know, in many European countries, you don't have to worry if you're poor. You don't have to worry if you lose your job. I remember a brother in Europe who had 9 children saying, "I don't have to work, because the government pays me so much for each child. I can just sit at home and earn more than if I go to work." I remember meeting a young man in Australia. I said, "Hey, aren't you seriously..." He was without a job. I said, "Aren't you seriously looking for a job?" He said, "No, I'm okay. The social security system in Australia takes care of me, that if I go to work, I'll get much less than I'm getting right now. So why should I go to work?" So he sits at home, lazes around, and drifted away from the Lord. That's not surprising. You know, hard work, I tell you, keeps us closer to the Lord. Laziness destroys us. And that's how a lot of young people in many of these countries are being destroyed, because they have a lot of money and they don't have to work. Social security takes care of them. And Christians in these countries, even in America, they have food stamps. If you run short of money, there's social security. Most of these Western countries. Well, you may envy them. A lot of Indians and Pakistanis and all go to these countries because they say our future is secure, because our children, even if they're jobless, they won't starve. They'll get free education, etc., etc., etc. But what about a Christian? I feel that a Christian misses out in these countries of the privilege of being able to trust God to provide our need. They can never do that, because when they're in need, they say they trust in the Lord, but actually it's the government who takes care of them. In the back of their mind, they know social security is there in the government. I mean, even if there's no God in heaven, it doesn't matter. But what about us in India? We don't have any social security. I mean, if the government starts helping the poor people in our country, they'll get bankrupt in one day. There are so many poor people in our land. What is the condition for us? Many years ago, when I stepped out of the Navy to serve the Lord, I decided to give away all my money for God's work and stepped out with nothing. The reason was, I wanted to, you know, God had called me to work in India. And I wanted to prove for myself and prove for other people in our country that in a country like ours, without social security and not having much money myself, my father was a poor pensioner from the government. I couldn't depend on him. And not connected to any American organization or Western organization, trusting the Lord, I want to prove in the 20th century, I'm talking about 46 years ago, in the 20th century, in a poor country like India, that God's promises are still true, which is, if you seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, all that you need on earth will be provided for you. He hasn't promised to make us millionaires. A lot of millionaires become, very insecure, and money doesn't solve every problem. But He's promised to provide all our needs, food, clothing, shelter. He taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," which means, how do we get our daily bread? Not by begging, but by having a job. In other words, in that prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is a prayer for a job. And where am I going to eat my daily bread? Not out in the park. I need a house. So in that prayer, there's also a request for a house. "Lord, give me a house to live in. give me a job. And there is also children's education hidden in that prayer. Because when my children grow up, they need to get their daily bread. How? By begging? Borrowing? No. By getting a job. So in that prayer is a request for my children to get jobs. And if they are to get jobs in India anyway, they need education. So in that little prayer that Lord taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, is a request for all our material necessities. That's why he said bread. He didn't say, Lord, give us this day our daily ice cream or chocolate. It is our daily bread. He's talking about necessities, not luxuries. If God gives us luxuries, that's an extra bonus. But praise the Lord for that. But necessities, he taught us to pray for. And to whom should we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven. Two things there. One, somebody who loves us intensely more than any earthly father. And show all of you fathers and mothers here. If you had one slice of bread in your home one day, and that's all, you'd give it to your children and starve yourself. I'm absolutely certain. Even though we're not all good fathers, we do that when it comes to food. We feed our children and go with less ourselves. And Jesus said, if you being evil, compared to God, the best father on earth is evil. That's amazing. So think of the best father on the earth and multiply that by a million, and you think you understand how loving and caring a father in heaven is. And that's why Jesus said before he went up to heaven, in connection with the gift of the Holy Spirit, there's a very important word that he spoke. See, I feel it's very sad that the Pentecostal church has emphasized speaking in tongues as the only main emphasis, as the main mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm thankful for the Pentecostal church of 100 years ago. I think if 100 years ago, I may have even joined the Pentecostal church, but I'd never joined today's Pentecostal church. But they have drifted. 100 years ago, they brought forth the mighty truth of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But today, they've all drifted, like all second, third generation Christians drift away from the truth that their grandfathers believed. So, when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, here's something he said. In John 14, he says, I'm going to ask the Father, verse 16, he will give you another helper, and that's the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you forever. And he's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But he now, right now, the last part of verse 17, he's only with you, outside of you, with you. But in the day of Pentecost, he'll be inside you. And that's a wonderful thing. Nobody in the Old Testament could have the Holy Spirit inside. But now, we can have the Holy Spirit inside. And look at the next verse. This is one of the marks of the Holy Spirit filling us. I will not leave you as orphans. When the Holy Spirit comes inside, he'll cry out, Daddy! Daddy! Father! To God. It's a spontaneous cry that comes up. I've got a dad in heaven. That's the wonderful blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, that is a million times more important than speaking in tongues. Because if you give me a choice, you can take away, Lord, you give me the gift of tongues, but you can take it away. I don't want to take away the knowledge of you as my Father. Completely out of the question. Jesus never spoke in tongues, you know that? I don't know whether you know that. Never in his entire life. But boy, did he know his Father. He never had any fear in his life because he knew his Father. And he knew his Father in the days when he had no supernatural gifts. Don't seek for supernatural gifts first. Seek to know him as a father. I'm willing to give up every gift God's given me if I can just know him as a father. So that was my great longing, to be able to prove by my life. I didn't know at that time. I was only 26 when I left the Navy. I didn't know at that time how long I would live or what God would call me to. But I said, Lord, in my life, I want to prove that there is a loving Father in heaven who takes care of me and who will provide for me. And I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to trust in some organization. I'm going to trust you. And once I had begun to prove it in my life, and when I got married, it was a greater opportunity to prove that God is a Father who provides. because we were extremely, extremely poor when we were married, much poorer than all of you who are married now. And we had to trust God. We had to learn to live simply. We had to learn to live without debt. And I can say our Father provided for us enough for our needs. We never starved for one day. Our children never starved for one day. And then I wanted to prove, now Lord, I proved it a little bit in my life. Then as we started planting churches in the villages, in some of the poorest villages in Tamil Nadu, I said, Lord, now I've got to prove this is true for these poor people as well, who are really poor, poorer than me. I want to prove that they can also prove that a heavenly Father will take care of them. And in the last 30 years, I've seen that. How the Lord is taking care of. There are numerous people I know whom God is taking care of as they have honored Him.